The last three distinctions I want to give you are these, four distinctions. And that is that human beings have five senses through which we basically process all the things we learn in our lives, five senses through which we communicate to the world and the world communicates to us. Those five senses are visual, auditory, meaning pictures, sounds, kinesthetic, which means feelings, emotions, or motions, olfactory, which stands for what? Smell, and gustatory, which is? Right. Of these five senses, the three we use most often to communicate to the world consciously with other people and so forth are visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. What's interesting, though, is those three modes of using our brain, most of us develop, and not all of us, but most of us develop a preference, a strength. That is, out of all the three, many of us have one that we like the most. In other words, there are no visual people or auditory people or kinesthetic people in the world, but there are preferences. It's like if you have a choice, that's probably what you're going to go for first. Most people have preferences, and it varies based on their state. But what you want to do is notice what's their preference right now while they're with you, because if you notice someone's preferences, you can enter their world. You can immediately give them feedback that makes them feel like you're like them and how to use your body and your voice. Because I want you to know this idea of mirroring is not limited to face-to-face. If you're a telemarketer, there's nothing more important than mirroring on the phone. And this will give you some distinctions. Let's talk about four basic styles: visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and something we're going to call digital, just to make it simple. Digital. Well, these four styles people go into at any time, and if you know what style they're in and you match styles, you become like them, you will connect, you'll have rapport, you'll be able to influence. The first style is visual. How can you tell if somebody's in a visual state of mind, at least while you're in front of them right now, so you know how to connect with them? The answer is when people are in visual, they tend to talk a little bit louder, a little bit faster, they tend to gesture, they tend to move more rapidly. They use words like picture this, examine this, take a look at this. Everything happens more rapidly because they got pictures in their mind, and pictures worth 1,000 what? Words, that's right, pictures worth 1,000 words. Oh, you're too slow for somebody who's visual, you gotta talk faster than that. And that's what visual people are, and they don't care what they're saying because, you know, that doesn't really matter, they're just trying to get these darn pictures out of their head. Now, somebody who's more auditory in nature would speak to you with more resonance in their voice. They would be a bit more articulate. They'd be a bit more selective about the words they use because for them, it's not only what they say, but it's also how they say it. And for them, words are very, very important, and the way they sound is very important. And even their gestures and their movements are more rhythmic versus the visual person who's talking more like this. You can imagine how a visual person gets along with somebody who's more auditory. Visual person says, hey, take a look at this thing. What do you think? What do you think we should do? Auditory person says, well, let's talk about it first. Now, I'm giving you some extreme examples so you can really see the difference, but I think you can follow me. And these extreme examples are out there, aren't they? Now, some people are more visual just because they talk a little bit more rapidly. They get a little bit more excited, that kind of thing. Auditory people, a little more resonance. A third kind of person is a person who's a little more kinesthetic or feeling-oriented. Tend to kind of weigh things. And they talk a lot slower, a lot quieter usually. In fact, many times when you ask them questions, they don't answer out loud. They just move their lips because sometimes feels good and they don't notice that they aren't saying anything. And I'm not making fun. It's very true. Have you ever had somebody like you keep asking what they said? So they're usually in a very kinesthetic mode. And what it is they're having very deep feelings about things and they really weigh things. They use words like, it feels good to me, but do you have a more concrete example? Or I need a better sense of it. And these kind of people usually drive me insane. Actually, I'm all three people, aren't you? It just depends on the situation. Some places I want to be visual, explosive, powerful. If you met me in another environment, you might see me like this all the time, because I can be like this all the time if I need to be or if I want to be, depending upon what I'm doing. Or you might find me like this, like I've been a good deal here. Or you might find me like this, where I can really feel the feelings, have the experience. The key is to be yourself, not to be somebody else. And you go, wait a second, I'm confused. What I'm hearing you say is become like them. I'm going to lose my identity. Give me a break. Are you going to tell me that you're just a visual person? You're just an auditory? You're just a kinesthetic? You're that limited in your life? I hope not. Not if you plan on being an effective persuader who has a lot of fun. In reality, we're all three people, but some of us need to work harder on creating more flexibility so we can enter people's worlds. Fourth person is called a digital person. And a digital person is the kind of person who does make decisions primarily in their mind by logic. And I told you that people buy for emotional reasons and they justify with logic. Well, behind their logic are emotions. In other words, why do they believe that X means Y? Because a long time ago, they got these feelings of certainty that that was true and that would lead to being able to do things effectively. So emotions are still at the bottom of their decision making, but they're the most disassociated buyers. They're the kind of person that they come around, they look at the car, they kick the car, they find out every little detail about it, they want to see the warranty, they want to read the things, they want all the little digital details. And when you're with digital people, you better have plenty of information to offer them to have rapport. So if you're with a kinesthetic person, you need to be able to be feeling oriented. What do you think happens when a visual salesperson gets along and says, "Hi, how you doing?" to a kinesthetic person? It's like, instant lack of rapport. Remember I told you one of the first commitments you made in being in this course was to be flexible? Flexibility is power. The person in any interaction who has the most flexibility, the most choices, will control the situation. Because when you run out of choices, they got another way to deal with it. And that's how you want to be as well. So you want to be able to enter all four modes. You want to be able to be visual, auditory, kinesthetic, or digital with any client so you can enter their world. And you can see it immediately and you can hear it on the phone. Somebody calls up on the phone and they say, "Hello, I'm calling about this." Well, I'll give you a more extreme example. Somebody calls up and they say, "Hi, I'm calling about this piece of property you have over there on Maple Street. Could you tell me something about that property?" What is the traditional response? I've sat in, you know, consulting for real estate companies, and I'm listening on people that are on what they call the up desk or stock brokerage, and I'm listening, right, as people are making calls during the screening, and they don't know I'm on the line. It's hysterical. It's hysterical what people do because they don't know. Person picks up the phone, they go, "Yeah, I'm calling about that piece of property over there on Maple Street. Can you tell me something about it?" Person goes, "Maple Street, Maple Street, Maple Street." "Well, let me see here. Maple Street, kind of slow like syrup, huh? Maple Street." But this time, the person at their end, who's in what state? Which one?
Visual.
Visual, is freaking out of their mind. Do they want to deal with this person?
No,
because they don't want somebody who's slow. They want somebody who's fast. Oh, God, they're going to get off the phone as quickly as they can. Now, the other extreme also happens. Sometimes people go to seminars where they're taught to be passionate, be a level 10. And they don't think about being at level 10 at the gradient that that person is. And so they pick up the phone and they go, "XYZ Real Estate." And the person goes, "Oh, hi, I'm calling about that property you have over there on Maple Street. Could you tell me something about it?" The person goes, "Maple Street? Of course I can. It's three bins. What do you think?" And the person's like, "Bye, click." You need to be where people are. You need to enter their world. And by the way, for me, some people say, "Well, that's being awfully manipulative, Mr. Robbins." Hey, you know what it is for me? It's called respect. Any idiot can go out there and talk the way he normally does without giving a darn about seeing who he's dealing with and what the way that they process the world is. See, if you're really a persuader and what you really are is a healer, somebody goes in there and finds hurts and heals it, you got to first get them to trust you enough to tell you what their pain is, what their problems are, what things they want that they're not getting are. If you don't get that trust, you're never going to be able to qualify them, are you? Not sincerely. You're going to get some garbage, like most salespeople do, about how much money they've got to spend and how many bedrooms and how many baths or what their last policy was like or what kind of budget their company has, but not telling you about things they could do to turn that company around so they could buy that computer system. I mean, think about it. You got to get people to trust you. And if you're doing mirroring just to manipulate, it'll come across that way. But if you're doing mirroring out of being respectful and seeing another human being and saying, "I want to show them I care enough to enter their world." It's like if you go to another country, the most classy thing you can do, in my opinion, is to make sure that you learn some of the language. So when you ask for things, even if you're not good at it, but you really attempt, don't people usually respond really well to you in other countries? It's like they can see you're at least trying. You're trying to enter their world, not just stick in yours, not the ugly American frame. And so my challenge to you is to do the same thing with people, to see what language they speak, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, or digital, at this time, and to enter their world right there. Now I got a question for you. What mode am I in right now as I talk to you?
Kinesthetic.
Yeah, kinesthetic. A little high kinesthetic, but kinesthetic. What about now when I speak to you this way? What mode am I in now as I start to talk like this? What mode am I in?
Auditory.
And what mode am I in when I talk like this and say, "Hey, what do you think? Take a look. What do you think?"
Visual.
So you should be able to tell what mode somebody's in and mirror back to them right away. So right now, if I was talking to you, let's say, kind of like this down here, how would you respond back to me? And I said, "Well, could you tell me something about your properties?" Would you go, "Oh, sure." No. Let me hear how you'd sound. If I said, "Tell me about your properties, would you please?" Okay, good. What if I said, tell me the details. I'd like to know about this, this, and that. And I'd like to know of X, Y, Z, and the mortgage, and the financing, and this, and this, and that, and all these different things. Please explain to me these now. Good, you got the rhythm of it as well. What if I said something like, well, I'm really not sure what I want, but I am very interested in at least taking a look. How would you respond to me now? Excellent. What if I said, hey, take a look at this. You know, I really want to see one of these kind of houses. Show me one of these, will you?
Yeah, we've got some great houses over there.
Excellent, excellent. Great, you're well on your way. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you do a series of these so that you get good at these. And by the way, we're going to do some series of these exercises so that you're not only good at it, but you realize it's fun. See, you can go in a business meeting now, and you have no excuse for the rest of your life of ever being bored in a business meeting again. Because you can mirror somebody and then change them, right? You know, have some fun with these tools. You can go in a restaurant and make a shift in somebody. You can sit next to somebody and all of a sudden have them introducing themselves, going, God, do I know you? And it's because there's such a connection of rapport in terms of mirroring. So this first phase of selling is called engaging. You must engage the client before you ever try and present something to them. And you must engage the client before you're going to ever find their real needs. And one of the most important aspects of engaging is connect and become their best friend. Connect and become their best friend, heart to heart. And the key elements here are have empathy and approach with deep caring. Make sure that when you give somebody a sincere compliment, it's something you really believe and something you really feel. Make it specific. I really admire you for blank. And then give them justification. The reason I say that is because dot, dot, dot. And then ask them a question that leads to their pride. And that would be something like, how did you ever manage to blank? Or how do you do that? In addition, use mirroring and matching, pacing and leading, and visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and digital. And finally, realize that rapport is the foundation to all influence. If you have absolute deep rapport, then you're going to find that this customer, quote unquote, will become your friend. You'll have a great time. You won't have so much fear about closing. And at the end, if you do a good enough job, they'll help you to close the sale. They'll work through you to buy because they trust you 100%. You deserve to have that kind of relationship, and they deserve to have that kind of relationship. So go practice now. And when you come back, we're going to finish up the engaging stage by showing you how to really create intense desire in the client.
Now, does all of this make sense to you? Great. To become a master of rapport takes practice. So before we close, here's your assignment. At dinner tonight or at a business meeting tomorrow, pick some context that's going to come up in the meeting or the next day for you and match and mirror that person. Notice the impact. Does the tone of the interaction change? Does it feel different? Do they respond differently to you? Now, if it's a person that you don't have a strong relationship with yet, how quickly can you get that rapport and create that strong relationship with them? And then after a while, you can even pace and lead them and get them to start subconsciously following your lead. This tool really works. So enjoy it, get out there and do it. And as we said in the beginning of this session right here, practice makes you a master at doing it. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in learning more about rapport, along with some other great tools, Tony has an unbelievable program called Unleash the Power Within. And you can get more information about it by going to anthonyrobbins.com or simply dialing 800-898-TONY. So, finally, we're going to learn about how to create sincere interest in your clients. So let's go to part two of this session now.
This session continues on the next CD.